late night evening, Roxy Soxy.
Ooh, so sexy. We're talking late at night. Good evening, Tam Tam.
Hello. I am everything that you have so wanted and desired.
I mean, look at us. Look at us. For those who can see the screen, you can see just how sexy we are.
Oh my goodness, we both have glasses on. I have no makeup on. And I was like, you know what? Our listeners are just going to have to, well, the people who are watching us just have to accept the fact that this is as good as it's going to get today. I am so sorry. It's just Roxy and I doing the thing. We doing the thing.
I know. I was like, should I put makeup on for Tammin tonight?
And like, you're like, no.
I'm like, no. I'm like, but I will put a ponytail in my hair.
I got a ponytail too. We both look like it's samesies.
Samesies. Glasses and ponytails. Glasses and ponytails.
Although I've only recently been blonde, and I don't understand people who are not blonde who go blonde like me, because it's so much upkeep.
Oh, yeah.
Like every, I'd say 3 weeks, I'm thinking, oh, I have to get the roots done.
Yes. Welcome to the world of blonde, where it is a nonstop upkeep. Now, the good thing is, like, you know, in the last, I'd say like 5 to 7 years, like that whole ombre thing kind of took effect and was like lived in color and, you know, kind of let your roots show. So I really lean into that.
I never understood that trend. I feel like it just looks like you have dirty hair.
It does.
I don't want my hair to look greasy at the top. Like, I know it's a look and I get it, but it makes me feel like you haven't washed your hair.
Yes, that is exactly what it looks like. It's like that lived in, like, dirty hair. But I do have to say, it makes it easier to kind of skip some of the coloring.
It does. I don't wash my hair as much when I'm blonde. And also, I don't see the gray as much either. I haven't even noticed a gray hair.
I know it's there. Just check the carpet downstairs and you'll see.
There's nothing there.
I just gotta keep checking
my eyebrows. The minute I get a gray eyebrow, I think I'm done. I think I'm gonna give up. I think that's when I'm gonna like get my, you know, retirement out. I'm gonna say, give me my retirement fund back.
You're like, I officially retire. But do you color? Because like in the past, I've actually colored my eyebrows.
You have not.
Yes. Okay. So here's what happened.
Color.
So now this was back, I'd say, like in the early aughts. I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to like match my eyebrow color to my hair color, which was like
blonde. No.
Yes. I will show you the photos, Tammin. It was so scary. I'm like, why did I...
That's the trend that's in right now. I think I saw one of my co-stars, Shay Mitchell. She was did a photo shoot, and I was actually she's obviously always looks beautiful, but I was like, oh my gosh, where'd her eyebrows go? Because that's the look of like, and maybe I just don't know fashion. I don't know. I thought I used to know fashion and what was in until I had kids, and now I just don't give a shit. Like, I really don't. Like, today I walked out in maroon pants and I had like a sort of off brown sweater, and then I thought, well, it's cold, so I'm gonna put on these pink thick socks. And I went to Target like that, and I just did not. I was like, I don't care. I hope that no one watches Pretty Little Liars or Young and the Restless or anything. I hope they don't know. But I don't even think they even look. I don't know. Ever since I became a mom, I feel like I lost all sense of fashion. I don't know. Maybe you didn't, because part of your job, but I just don't give two shits anymore.
Well, I call it this. It's so funny. I think I saw this meme and it could not be more true. I think in the morning you look like a totally different person at drop off than you do like later in the day. Like in the morning I roll out to drop off looking what I call homeless chic. It's like,
yeah,
I basically look like I'm wearing a garbage bag.
Yeah. You know? Cause it's really early. You have to get there.
It's too early. Like no one has time. I mean, I oftentimes just go with like pajama, you know, bottoms with like a ratty old sweatshirt. I'm like, and maybe some Ugg boots or something. Like, just,
oh my gosh,
just to get her off. And without fail, it's like the days that
always.
Yes, the worst. It's like the end. I just missed the end of the carpool line.
There's the principal.
Yes, yes, and you have to walk her in.
And Roxy. Like, how are you doing today?
No big deal. Just rolled out from my tent down the street. I mean, literally could have had like leaves in my hair. I mean, the whole thing. It's some mess, a hot mess.
No, I know. I feel like I always look like a bit of a mess lately. I kind of do. And I think I've even gone to the point where like I fake it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I did a movie. I finished the movie that I was shooting last week. And I realized that like I don't look like the character, any characters that I ever do in real life, because I don't get 2 hours of hair and makeup done every day. So like I rock up, they spend an hour on hair. They spend an hour on makeup. I've got lashes. I've got the, you know, waves. I've got the foundation. I've got the eyebrow. I've got all the things, right? Someone's dressing me. They give me Spanx. Like I look great. Like for those like couple of months, the last couple of months, I've been looking great when I like FaceTime anyone because it's like all done. But firstly, I don't have the energy or the time or the shits to like do that when I'm not working. And if I went to an event, I would hire someone to do my hair and my makeup because I don't even care to do that either. Like, and then I thought to myself the other day, I was like, do I have like bad mental health because I don't care? Or am I just getting older and I don't really care what people think of me anymore? And I just want to be comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's some of that for sure. Like, it's like the older we get, it's just like, who has the time? Like, who has the energy? Does it really matter? You know, but like, I remember being in my 20s, like in my early 20s and being like, oh my God, like everything has to look perfect. Like when you walk out the door, you know? And I think it's like definitely an age thing. I think it's also like a parent thing because we really don't have the time to look so good.
Right. But also attracting the opposite sex, right? Because I don't want to look, sounds ridiculous, but like, you know, when like you've really done yourself up and you're like, you got your tits out shirt on and you're like, you got your lashes on and like, maybe it's all in your own mind, but you feel like people like, you know, a guy might look right here or there, or they might just like turn their heads and it'll be like, hey, I don't know if I want to bring that like attention anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, why do I have my tits out shirt on? Like, why do I got the tits out shirt on? Like, and I know people go, well, you dress for you and you dress for other women. But when I was wearing my tits out shirt on, it was for men.
Yeah. To get that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I never told you this. This is so embarrassing. And I hope that no one judges me for it. And I'm sure they will. When I was like mid 20s and I used to get like my hair done and I used to think I would like look like hot shit, I used to go back and forth past Earth Cafe just to see if guys would look. I'm so and oh, I first met Sean, he'd be like, oh, you've just had your hair done, do you want to like walk past Earth Cafe? I was like 24 25 and I was like, yeah I do. And I'd walk past and I'd see like if anyone would look. How insecure of me to like even care. Roxy's like, and I'm out.
Wait, I still do that.
she's like yeah, she's like, what, you don't still go past Earth Cafe
with your, you know what, I will say, like, the days that I do get my hair done, especially
you
like,
go past Earth Cafe.
No, you know what it is. I will go home and I'll be like, David, like, let's go out to dinner. Let's like get a babysitter or something because my hair is bad.
Like, let's be hot. Yeah.
But he's like, I'm too tired. He's like, no, I'm going to stay in. And I'm like,
then I know. Like, I always look good the days we stay in.
Yes. Yes. It's so annoying.
I know.
Why can't we get on the right cycle? You know, it's like.
And I never even feel like, well, I feel like going out because I feel like I look better, but then I don't really want to go out. Because like then I have to go out
and talk to people and socialize.
Yeah, I don't like that part. I'm like, when I get to the place, I'm like, and when can we go home?
It's so funny. It's so funny. I'm like, let's stay all night.
I know. I don't know where you get that from. Like, I know you're way. I mean, it's weird because I am an extrovert. Like, I love people. But I don't know what it is about being out that I don't like. I think it's maybe like the small talk that gets really anxiety ridden, or social anxiety, or the fact that I don't drink I don't drink at all, but like when I'm not drinking, that I have to like see people who are drinking, and that I don't know what it is.
Do you think it's Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be that, like a little, like maybe like social anxiety, maybe you think?
Yeah, and I just, maybe it's just a safety thing. Like maybe at home I just feel safer, but I don't like to stay home all the time either.
Right.
I like to be out. I just like to feel, maybe it was just because I was an actor so young at 15, right? So when I used to go out, people used to just look at me and I felt really self-conscious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it kind of
I don't think
you...
people are going to look at me now. Well, depends on what state I'm in, but I mean, Alabama, maybe they will. like certain places, I'm like, nope, not going there. They like Pretty Little Liars too much.
That's funny. Have you been like recognized on stuff since you've been in Tennessee?
Yeah, when I first got here, it was bad. And I don't know if it was bad. Well, I guess I had brown hair, so that was more helpful, but it wasn't bad, but I would say every place that I went to, if I went to Target, there'd be two people that would ask for a picture. Or if I went to, you know, Trader Joe's, it would be one person. But the problem is once one person knows you're on a show that they love, then a couple people come up and, oh yeah, the other day I was at the grocery store and someone, it was Whole Foods. And then the weirdest part is when people get emotional because I don't find myself to be that cool. Like, again, I don't even match my colors correctly when I walk out the door. Like, I'm like, it's just a character, right? So yeah. I don't feel like I'm like that cool. But I've had people like have full on anxiety attacks. And that's, firstly, it's confusing to me because I'm like, what is happening? But also, like, I want to help them.
Yeah.
And then the more I try to help them and give them a hug, they freak out even more. So the idea of someone recognizing you for your job and that fame idea, because I wouldn't walk around going, I'm famous, but like the fame idea of like someone knowing you from your work.
Yeah.
Is very strange.
That's so funny. And it's like usually at the times when you're like not expecting, right? Like, I mean,
it's like vomited on you or something. They're like, can I get a picture?
You're like, do we have to? How about
I had once I went to the toilet and someone put like a piece of paper underneath it and said, hi, can you just sign this? Like, yeah, I'll wipe my butt with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'll give you my butt print.
Give me my butt print.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Well, yeah. I mean, things could be worse.
Yeah, I could not be famous. Yeah. I'm just kidding. But I think the interesting thing about that is like, you know, sometimes I'll be on social media and there'll be like a really big celebrity, someone who's like worldwide famous.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like saying something about a hardship that they've been through. And you have to be very careful because it's all relative and you've got to be aware of the world around you and realize that like your problems are definitely first world problems. And you got to be really careful to be like bitching about certain things. Right.
Right.
But a lot of the comments whenever that happens is people saying like, well, how do you know real hardship because you're famous, right? And famous and money, but a lot of it's because you're famous, like fame, like I wish I was famous. But I think I'd say that 90% of people who are considered quote unquote famous would love to do the jobs that they did without the fame at all. Because it's a very odd thing and it's not for me, but like for people like say Katy Perry or who like they're caged. They can't. And yes, that comes with the job. Of course it comes with the job. And then you know that when you sign on to something. And I'm sure she knew that when she wanted to be very successful. But it doesn't mean it makes it easier. You know?
Right. Absolutely. And you know, you're saying it's like even just the mundane tasks people miss. Cause I remember watching an interview, I think it was with Kim Kardashian, and she said that when she had her first baby, North, I believe, that she literally, I mean, again, first world problems, but like she missed going to the grocery store so much that she like actually rented like a Ralph's grocery store and just took her baby like in a shopping cart and like drove around the aisles, you know, like just like how any regular mom would or parent. So I thought it was really interesting, but it's like, you know, obviously what's the trade-off, right? I mean,
yeah, not having to ever go to the airport because you have a private jet, right?
Right. Exactly. But I think
you go.
No, I was just going to say, I think too, like with, you know, like with like the people who are caged, I mean, that's gotta be, that's got to be anxiety ridden, because that's like constantly, I mean, you can't even, and you can tell too, when you're around people like that, that they are looking, you know, like yeah. the peripheral vision is this way. Like they're
safety
they
too. Yeah.
They know for safety that who is exactly around them, like what the situation is. And even if they seem like they're looking straight ahead, you know, they've got eyes at the back of their head and they're like, you know, to always be conscious of that, to never just be like relaxed about that kind of stuff. It must be crazy, you know?
And I was listening to a podcast, an audiobook about manifestation, of course. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about, you know, like money and mm-hmm. scarcity, like, you know, that gets coupled in with fame, because, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times people go, well, you're famous and you've got all this money, so how can you really understand? But, you know, money, I think once it takes away the problems about money,
mm-hmm.
then they have, researchers have like proven that it doesn't make you happier. Like what happens is, and I'm sure you've, you know, when you're younger and you're like, oh my goodness, when I buy my first Chanel bag, right? Or whatever your thing is, when I buy my first car, when I buy my first holiday, like take my kid on holiday or whatever it is. And then once you do that, you're looking for the next thing to give you that sort of high. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't ever reach that high. So we're constantly trying to search for more and more and more and more things and more money. But they say that once you have your basic needs met, mm-hmm. which is shelter, food, safety and freedom, mm-hmm. which looks different to every person, but freedom of like healthcare mm-hmm. and freedom of like good schools for your children. Once those are met, it doesn't really bring on any more happiness.
What about love? Is love in that diagram?
What do you mean? You can have more love
to get the to get your basic needs met. Like, does love count as a need, or no?
No, I think it's one. I think that's in a whole different category of like happiness, to mm-hmm. be fulfilled and happy and perfect. Purpose is probably being in love with yourself, but also mm-hmm. having people that love you and people that you love. So
I mean, I can see how that, I mean, they always say more money, more problems, you know? So it's not, I think that money doesn't necessarily, I mean, it can make things maybe easier in some sense, you know, like you don't have to worry if you have a certain amount of money, you don't have to worry about where the next meal is coming from, or mm-hmm. if your child can go to the doctor, or, you know, if you can buy the house that you want, you know, whatever it is, I feel like it helps like that with that, but I don't think it's like a substitute necessarily for happiness.
Like how many, you look at sometimes, you know, I see the Kardashians mm-hmm. on TV and it's like, you know, how they have all those bags, right?
Right.
I promise you that once you've had the second bag, the second Birkin bag, the second Chanel bag, you're not getting much joy from that.
Right. And you constantly probably have to up yourself. You know, it's like, then you get the bag that's like more expensive, or like the car that's mm-hmm. more expensive. It's like you constantly have to outdo almost what you already have, you know?
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this person listens to my podcast. So if not. But, you know, when you travel back to see your family, and like some people's families live, you know, far away. Mine lives in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and I'm going to be back there for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And normally your friends, like I'm coming back to LA next week mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, cool. Let's figure it out. When can I see you? Right. That's just a normal thing. And we've been in each other's lives for a couple of years. And I have a friend who I've been in her life for about 30 years.
Okay.
And she's one of my closest friends. Mm-hmm. And it's always been, every time I go back, it's always been like super easy. She wants to see me.
Mm-hmm.
Until a year ago, where I was in Australia for like a good year, but I was in Sydney for a good like month or two. And she was actually coming back and forth to the state for her work that I was in anyway. And excuse after excuse why they couldn't see me. And not even like excited to see us. It was just like, oh, I'm going to leave, you know, Australia on the 7th. Oh, sorry, we're getting back from vacation on the 7th, which is totally fine. Then I said, well, we might actually change it to the 8th so I can see you. And they're like, she's like, oh, we might be seeing friends on the 8th. And I was like, well, maybe I just won't book my return ticket until I can figure it out. She's like, yeah, we'll see if that can happen.
Wait a minute, but you're coming so far, like from the other side of the world.
I know.
Wait a minute. So did you guys have a falling out or something?
No.
Or no.
No. And I actually don't think it's about me, but I'm not sure what it's about.
Is something going on in her life, do you think?
Always. There's always drama.
Oh, so maybe like...
But I almost feel like, and I have to be careful with my words, I almost feel like I haven't ever had addiction in my family, so I can't really spot it. But if someone's listening to this and they do have addiction in their family or know of people that do, I feel like there's some kind of addiction she might be struggling with.
Okay.
That has become her everything. So it's like you're constantly thinking about, well, what you're going to do the next day to get that, whatever that high is from. I don't know. I don't know. It could be shopping for all I know.
Yep.
But I feel like it could be something like that. I mean, what would you do in that situation?
I mean, have you said to her, you know, I feel like maybe you started by saying, I feel like, you know,
I did that last year.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. And what'd she say?
She ended up seeing me.
And how was
it? I guilted her into fucking doing it. Like, I guilted her. Like, did the whole, like, I've come all this way.
Right. Wait, so how was she when you saw her?
Fine.
She was okay. So
but again, like, I don't know, have you ever been around people with addiction? Don't they seem fine?
They do. Do you think it's like a chemical addiction to like a drug or like alcohol? Or do you think it's like something like gambling or shopping?
Yeah, I don't think it's drugs. I think
there's
some other addiction she could be dealing with, which is like there's a lot of addictions. Okay. But
okay.
And I have to be careful because I don't ever want to like put her out there. But
yeah.
I think firstly, I think she's definitely addicted to men.
Oh,
which is a, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just think that the thing is, the first thing you do is you think it's you, right? So right. I'm thinking, like, what have I done?
Right.
But then there's no, I'm really not a person. Like, this sounds weird to say this. I'm not a person who fucks up royally. Like, I'm not a, I won't leave you high and dry. I won't not show up to something I've said I'm going to show up to.
Mm-hmm.
I won't screw you over. I won't fuck your husband. Like, I'm just not that person. Like, you're like, phew. Like, I'm not going to overstep the bounds or like, I'm just not that person.
Right.
So I haven't had, so the friends I've had falling out, outs with mm-hmm. have normally been because they have done something mm-hmm. and I've called them out on it, because I will call them out, and then they probably felt angry or ashamed or what, because I've had some people do some really gnarly stuff and then that's how we've fallen out, is because I've said something. I've been like, no, that's not cool, you can't do that, that's really fucked up,
yeah, like don't do that,
yeah.
Like,
and then they kind of like don't know what to say and then sort of piss off.
And then you never hear from them again.
No, then I never hear from them again.
Cool. But this is interesting. So if she's addicted to men, like maybe is she, do you think she's trying to like leave her schedule open so she can like, you know, do her thing? Like do the.
Yeah. Or be with the person she's dating for now.
Okay. So she's dating somebody now. She's with
somebody. It changes. So I'm not sure.
You're like, maybe, maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I think the most important thing is you just can't think it's you. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's obviously if she's.
Yeah, I think you get hurt, right? So the first thing we do is, as sensitive human beings, is we go like, that's devastating. Like you mm-hmm. flying all this way and that person doesn't want to see you. That's really hard to like, but it's a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah. But you also have to let her, I think, like go on her own path a little bit in that way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If she's veering off and like doing something, sometimes it's like that person has to sort of find their way back, you know, in their own time. I mean, especially if she's got addiction issues, you know, it's almost like then it becomes more hurtful and frustrating, I think, for you if you're trying to kind of like, you know, not rein her in or not correct it, but you know what I mean? You're kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe it's better to let her, I don't know. Maybe it's better to let her, you know.
But what do you, I think friendships are hard. And I think that how many chances do you give someone?
Yeah.
And enable their behavior, because you are enabling their behavior by, you fly all the way to another country. They end up not seeing you.
Right.
You're like, no problem. That's cool. Even though we've known each other for 30 years.
Right.
Don't worry about it. And we like 2 minutes, like probably 20 minutes away from each other when we get there.
Right.
Like, then you're enabling their behavior instead of saying, hey, this isn't cool. And then how long do you enable that behavior for?
So maybe this time, since you've already said a little something to her, that you say something a little like more, not like stronger to her. So she kind of like gets the point, you know, like if she didn't get it before, like the first time, maybe you step it up a little bit this time and kind of say, hey, you know, I just wanted to, you know, talk to you about, if there's like a reason why, you know, we're not able to like link up, or like, do you not want to see me? Did I, you know, did something that happened? Did we, you know, get off on the wrong path somewhere or something like that? Like, I would have that talk with her, maybe, like if it's bothering you, like if it really is like hurting you, I would maybe talk to her, because you've already kind of said something to her. Yeah. So I would maybe, I mean, unless you get there and things are different, you know, maybe.
Have you ever had fallings out with friends?
Yes, I actually had, I remember the first one. I mean, I've had others, but for some reason, this one pops into mind. I think it's because it was the most scarring for me, was when I was in, I think I was in sixth grade, maybe. It was like junior high. And I had this really good friend who we had been friends basically since I had moved to that school, probably like for 4 years or something. I thought we were really close. You know, we always did overnights and hung out. And I remember one day after, I think it was like after PE class or something, that she and like a different group of friends all came up to me like in the locker room. And then they were like, we don't want to be your friend anymore. And like the girl who I thought I was friends with was like, we're not going to be friends. Like, she's like, I don't want to be your friend. Like, we're not hanging out anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was like me and just that like group of mean girls basically. And I just remember being devastated, you know, like crying, like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this has happened. But back, yeah. I don't know, back then, I don't think it's like more maybe how it is now, where people are encouraged to talk about things, especially at that age. So I bottled it up. Like, I never told anybody about that until like years and years and years later, till I was like well into my adulthood. But yeah, I just remember that was really traumatic, because it felt like I was being dumped, you know, like.
Yeah, I got that too. Oh gosh, in Los Angeles, this one girl, man, and that you have a whole group of friends, and then they start taking sides. I think women, it's, you know, my husband was talking to me because I was pretty upset about this. What I was just talking about, my friend in Australia. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, that happened to me with one of my closest friends. And I'm like, oh, it did? And he's like, yeah, I haven't spoken to XYZ like for like a year now. And he came to our wedding. Oh, and wow. I was like, oh, you haven't? And he's like, no. And I was like, well, did you say something? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh, so like you just reach out and he doesn't reach it back out? And he's like, yeah, he's just ghosted me. And I'm like, well, did you say something? And he's like, no. I'm like, that is so men.
They just won't let things go.
It's
they won't
so
even
men. He's like, oh, I just don't want to make it a thing. And I'm like, but you're not even talking, like, but it's hurting you. And he's like, I know, but you know, you never know. I think men are just taught that just not to have those conversations.
No. Especially that generation. Like, they just were like buttoned up, you know, like just take it, like don't rock the boat, like don't say anything and just like move on and like don't show your feelings. You know, which is really sad. I mean, I think it's done like a major disservice to that.
I just feel like I'm pushing 40. I'm late 30s. And I'm like, my mom always has this quote that says, if I'm too hard to love, then like walk away. Like if I'm too hard to be in a friendship with, then I'm not right for you, you know? And I'm at this point in my life where, like, you know, at our age, life's hard. Like, we've got small children. I think this is probably there's lots of different types of hard, I think, mm-hmm. as you go through your life. But I think small children hard is like nothing I've ever experienced. And my mom was like, you know, you don't understand how hard it is for me because we're getting older. And I was like, I don't understand because I'm not there yet. And I'm sure it's really difficult physically more than anything. And mentally, obviously, there's decline. But it's like when you have young children and it's like the mirror has flipped upon you to like deal with all your shit and your trauma. And also you're still trying to make a future for them and you're trying to work really hard and you're still trying mm-hmm. to figure out who you are and you have a relationship and you're trying to have a good sex life and you're trying to maintain friendships and you're trying to, you know, pick up your kid from school so you don't mm-hmm. miss the school play because then you'll feel like a shit mom and then they tell you you're a shit mom and then you're mm-hmm. also trying to like be healthy because if you don't stay healthy then you're not going to be around for long. It's just like I really feel like this time in life is really difficult. And I know there might be people listening who have teenage kids and they go, well, just wait till they're teenagers. You have a whole different. And I get that too. I know that that's difficult, but I think this is physically draining. Mm-hmm. It's so physically draining when you have small children and mentally draining at the same time. Like I think when they get a little older, it's mentally draining, mm-hmm. but it's not as physical. Yes. You know, like I had to hold my kid today, this tree lighting thing for an hour. Like my arm went dead. Like I couldn't, I was like, oh my God. And thank God I work out and do yoga because I wouldn't have been able to physically lift her for an hour.
Yeah. That's exhausting. And that age too, cause they're still, I mean, you know, they're good sized kids. I mean, they squirm and it's just like, oh my God, you're just like, oh, put this grenade down. It's a lot. Yeah. No, it's exhausting. Motherhood at this age is exhausting. And it is. It's physical because they're not quite. I mean, our older girls are maybe a little bit more self-sufficient in the sense that, like, you know, my daughter can go and get a snack for herself or she can, like, obviously go to the bathroom by herself. But, like, you know, I mean, there's still a good amount of care that we have to give her.
Yeah, you can't just let them walk out the door.
Right. Exactly. And she still requires like the whole getting to bed routine and like in the morning, like we have to wake up with her because we have to get her ready for school.
Yeah.
So it's still all the thing. It's a different version of the things, you know, but it is interesting because I was actually at an event this weekend and I was talking to some moms whose kids are like teenagers. And they just keep warning me. They're like, the teenage years, like just as a parent.
No, I feel like I can't deal with that because I feel like already my first I'm dealing with it.
I mean, I know. I just feel like I'm not even prepared. And before we even know it, like every stage hits so fast that there's mm-hmm. never time to prepare. Oh, but get this. You know, question I got asked about less than that, a couple weeks ago.
Where'd a baby come from?
Sure did. And the reason why is because she had a friend over who decided to tell her what sex was.
I told you, you got to do it first.
Well, that prompted me to buy this.
I bought that too. See, I bought that too. It says for 4-year-olds. Do you see that, guys? We're holding up a book called It's Not the Stork.
It's Not the Stork, yeah. And it's for, this one is for, oh yeah.
4-year-olds. I bought it too. But my husband, my beautiful husband, who moves all my shit, I have no idea where the book is.
It could be in the laundry room.
Could be in the laundry. Honestly, could be in the kitchen. Everything in the laundry. As a running joke, like today, where's my microphone? In the laundry. Where are my cooking books? In the laundry.
Of course, because that's where they belong, right? Oh my gosh. So Tamin, let me tell you what happened. And I was actually impressed because I was not expecting this. So the friend had come over and that was like a Friday maybe. And then on Saturday morning, we were sitting there and out of the blue, I was talking about something totally unrelated. I was like, oh my gosh, I wish we had gone to that Elton John concert, you know, that was here like this past week. I'm like, I really wanted to take you. It would have been really fun. And she goes, do you know what sex is? I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, oh, I know what sex is. And I'm like, oh, what's sex? And she goes, that's when two people lay down in a bed naked or in a shower naked or standing up naked and they start kissing. And I go,
and you're like, and then what?
Exactly. And then it was like, okay, I'm like, is that all? And she's like, yeah, that's what it is. And I'm like,
that's what it is.
I was like, okay, let's put a pin in
that.
Mommy
has not had sex for a very long time because mommy doesn't kiss anymore.
Right. I'm like, kissing's out the window, girl. That's so 2005.
Oh my God. The other day I was like, can you kiss me? And then I was like, 2 seconds in, I was like, this is so weird.
Totally. It's so like foreign nowadays.
So weird. It's like, I know when you're in your 20s, you just sit and kiss forever, but I'm like, this is so fucking weird.
It's so weird, especially with your husband. It's, you
know. No. And then the whole time I'm like, okay, when do we get to the good part?
You're like, always speed it up.
Yeah, get speed up this kissing. And then do you ever feel like, you know, like, I haven't had a drink in a while, but like, if you had a few drinks and you're like, you're feeling super sexy and then you're like all hot and heavy and you kiss for a while, it kind of takes a while to get into the groove.
Yeah, because you're
kissing. Because you're like, this is weird. Like, weird. Whose mouth goes where? Yeah. Where's your tongue go? And then, like, why is your tart? Like, because you know when you first meet your husband or whoever you're with, you're, like, passionately deep kissing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so weird to even think about now. Like, my tongue in his mouth.
I know. Like, I'm like, ew. Did you brush his teeth?
I'd be like, ew.
I know. It's so weird. I can't even, like, a long-term, like, makeout session. Like, I can't even remember, like.
I know. Like, just, and, like, why would you even do that now?
Yeah. Why would you even do that? You don't even have the time to do that.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, God, hurry up.
I'm tired.
That's so sad. Are we just old hat? Like,
yes.
What is it in Sex and the City where when Charlotte gets that card?
Oh, which one?
What, the what old is... hag or the maid?
Oh, the
maid. When they go to the Salt Lake City, the gambling.
Oh, the Vegas? Oh no, Atlantic City. When they go to Atlantic City,
and she gets like the old maid card. The old maid. I think it's old maid.
The old maid. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, I'm not an old maid. We old maids
we
now.
We are. We are officially old maids. So,
although you got Botox, did we tell everyone? And how's it going? Okay, I'm so scared. Does it feel heavy?
No, you know what? I was so surprised because I was like, oh my gosh, is it going to be like paralyzed? Am I going to?
Said you felt heavy.
It felt, you know what it was? It felt like, and what's strange is it actually feels like lighter now. I don't know why, because it's okay, like
I want to feel lighter.
Yeah, because it. I mean, it still moves and everything. That's me mad at you.
Okay, did you take any before pictures?
Yes, I did. I did. Oh, but I didn't.
Okay, but do you feel like you can't really get mad?
This is as mad as I can get.
Okay, go up. Go your eyebrows up. And what would have happened before? You would have got wrinkles up there?
Yeah, it would have furrowed. Like, this would have gone in. Like a real mad face.
Smile. I mean, your eyes look kind of dead. Just kidding.
So I went to this gal, her name is Kelsey Roloffs, and she's a doctor, an oculofacial.
Can I go on Thursday?
Plastic. Yes, you should. Oh my God, you should. I'll put you in touch with her. She's an oculofacial plastic surgeon at UCLA, Kelsey Roloffs, and she is amazing. And she is very light.
She's an actual doctor.
Yes, she's an actual ocular facial plastic surgeon.
Ocular facial, so eyes
and like facial.
So she's not
like,
gonna make us blind.
Yeah. So she knows not to make anyone blind.
Okay, good. Does she do fillers too? Because that's
she does everything. She'll do it all. She'll do Botox, fillers, like all kinds of peels, and like all these like fun treats. Like, she's all about beautiful skin.
Okay, let's do some fun treats when I go there.
Yes, and she has beautiful skin too, so you know.
But I don't think you should fly after you get Botox, right? I don't think that's smart.
I think you can. I don't think it matters for Botox.
Well, all of a sudden my eye's droopy because I like went to 35,000 feet.
Well, if you go to Dr. Kelsey, you definitely will not have a droopy eye. I'm going to put
I'll do it when I come back from Australia.
Yes, 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 yes. And then maybe
you like it?
I do because you know why? I just feel like I had that number 11 line starting right here, and I just feel like it's kind of like faded. I don't know. I just don't see it as much anymore. And then
you don't feel heavy.
No, it does not. Especially now. I feel like it got lighter the last week. And she put just like one here and one here on each temp, like where the crow's feet are. And so I think those went down a little bit too.
and you don't feel like paralyzed in your own face.
I feel like I can still move.
I just got to do it. I know. I'm so scared.
Yes. No, you could. You should do it. It's really good. It's really good. I mean, if you want to, if you want to.
I do want to. I just don't want to, like, A, have a droopy eye, or B, lose my vision or something.
No. You know what? I just got to a point where I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm gonna just, because for me, it was 90%. I'm so afraid of needles.
I know. It's so dumb. You're afraid of, like, the needles. Literal toxin that's going into your body. You're just afraid of the needle.
The actual needle.
That's giving it to you.
The actual tool that is about to pierce my skin. So I was like, okay, I'm going to get over that. And then the 10% was like, oh my gosh, like, what could go wrong? Like, that kind of a thing. But I have to say, you know, the way she did it, it really was not painful at all. And I just feel like I was ready for it. I was like, I want to do it. I'm ready now.
How old are you, Roxy?
I am a ripe old 77. Don't I look good?
That's a long running joke if you're new here, because she's never told me her age. So I really have no idea.
I could be 77. I could be 37. Somewhere in between.
Well, with Botox, we never know.
Exactly. Exactly. It's good stuff.
Roxy Soxy. I think I need my roots done. Now I'm looking.
Oh, are you going to get
What's happening? Oh my gosh. Well, I'll come get Botox with you.
Yes. Oh, you should come get your hair done with my guy, George Papanicolaus.
Oh, he used to do my hair.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, for like a second. He did something.
Yes, he's great with blonde.
He's so expensive, though. He's got like a huge fucking mansion in LA. Because people don't understand, if you don't live in LA, you pay like $1,000 to get your hair done. Like, I'm serious. Like, to get roots and you're like, wait, what? No wonder they have so much money.
They're loaded. The hairdressers out here are making some bank.
Oh, and they're like celebrities in LA.
Oh, yeah. They're very much celebrities. Like, people know them just as much as an actor or like a producer or whatever, you know?
I know.
It's
well, true. And also we got some exciting news. We are going to start shooting in a studio soon.
Yes.
Which will be really, really fun. We're going to have some really great guests. We won't tell anyone, but some really big ones are going to come into studio with us. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Good stuff.
You know what? It's weird. When we start this podcast, I'm like, I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
It just goes.
Like, where's this going to lead?
We'll see.
We'll see. I don't know why we always go back to Southern. It always comes in there. We'll say wherever we're going to lead.
It is a great one to go back to because it's real user friendly. It applies to many people.
Oh my god, they're so good too.
Yeehaw, cowgirl.
What's funny is I honestly think that no one's listening. That's why I just do all this. And I'm like, oh wait, we actually have listeners. Like, there's someone in bed right now listening to us. Yeah. So weird.
I wonder what they're saying.
Or like going for a run, listening to us.
Just a little
such
run.
Such an honor. But so weird.
Or trying to escape their children and hiding in the closet.
That's not weird. That's normal.
That's not weird at all, actually. That's called taking a break.
And sometimes I'm like, because I love my kids so much, sometimes I'll like turn around and whisper like, I hate being a mother. I'm like, I hate this.
Or you silently scream to yourself. You go.
Oh, I know. Like, there's so many times I just want to like, just scream.
Yeah, and you're like, you start fantasizing about,
let's talk about your feelings, honey. Let's talk about how you're feeling in this moment.
Yes.
Rat.
You fantasize about being 2,000 miles away. You're like, wow, if I was on the other side of this country, how would I feel right now?
Rat. They're cute though.
They're cute.
Like, what makes them cute?
I know. It's true. Okay. That's why. Gotta keep them going.
Okay, Roxy Soxy. I'm gonna get my life together and speak to you next week.
Yes, girl. Coming to Los Angeles.
I am. I'm really excited.
Yes.
And guys, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and comment. The thing is, like, you just have to do it because we can't keep going unless you do.
Yes,
so,
guys, come on.
If our podcast shuts down, it's because you guys didn't rate, subscribe, or comment.
It's your fault.
So it's your fault. Guilt our way into subscriptions and ratings.
There'll be so many good things that will come your way. It's called manifestation. If you manifest us, we will manifest you.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And we are Women on Top Official on Instagram.
And Women on Top Podcast on Facebook. And we have Women on Top Official on TikTok now, too. Oh,
we do. We just started TikTok. And some of our TikToks have gone viral. That first one went to like 500,000. That's pretty good.
It did. Y'all.
It's pretty good.
Come hang with us.
Hey, guys. We love you lots. I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are
Women.
On top. That was fun.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.